On the 26th of May, for 5 days, our membership doors are open and you can join for as long as you wish. There's no contract. And even better, in May, we've got a win-win month, a refund challenge where our course is money. And if you don't like it, you get a refund, no questions asked. If you do like it and you listen to the recordings and you participate in the discussion, you also get a refund. So it's a win-win. You can't lose. The only thing that you would be investing is your time. And it's my job to make sure that that time is spent in the most life-changing, transformational, mind-blowing way imaginable. So I hope you'll join us. There's no risk. Come and see what you think. Try out some of the private study courses as well. And hopefully see you there. This is the Superpowered Mind podcast for inquiring individuals who are tired of the struggle for peace, happiness, and clarity. I'm Claire Diamond, ready to help you explore the principles of the mind, the self, and reality to unlock ultimate mental freedom. This podcast is the one to listen to if you're ready to experience the capabilities of the superpowered mind. Welcome to our podcast episode called How to End Your Addiction. The interesting thing about addictions, and this goes against so much of common thinking, common practice around our compulsions and our habits and our behavior, the more that it's realized, all behavior is optimum for whatever is believed, for whatever conditioning, whatever belief system is in operation, the more there can start to be freedom and change and enormous change, transformational change around our behavior. The worst thing we can do with addiction is to operate from an unquestioned belief system that inside everybody, every mind, there is an independent chooser and decider that is making independent objective decisions. It just doesn't stand up, that belief system, that concept at all. And yet it's everywhere. It's what we all believe. It's so convincing. This idea of ourselves as separate. I'm this separate entity and I am deciding what to do. I should be in control of what I feel. I should be in control of what I experience. I am independently making decisions about my behavior. That's what we believe. It's not true at all. There isn't a separate objective decider. It's not possible that there is, because when we start to realize that beliefs are being acquired right from the start of our lives, conditioning is taking place. The baby, the very young child, is wired to engage and interact with the world, and the cognition is starting to form rules. Subconsciously, there isn't anyone doing that. So rules and meaning and rules of thumb are being acquired. This is how the world works. This is what I am. This is what I need. This is what I need to do to survive. That's an entire belief system being acquired. No one is doing it. And from that belief system, from that conditioning, comes all behavior, all words. It's not possible that words are being chosen. When you're in a conversation with someone, just take a moment to consider what's going on. Words are being spoken. How were those words learned? There was no one learning them. There was just an entire language acquired. And words are being heard. How are they being heard? No one was learning how to interpret sound and make meaning of that. That was just happening. And so an entire conversation is based on past acquisition that was automatically happening. And from that, come all our relationships. It's amazing, isn't it? There is no central doer, decider, chooser. And this is really pivotal when it comes to addiction, because when the mind is believing, I'm in control of my behavior, and yet here we are, we're drinking too much, we're scrolling too much, we're addicted to prescription drugs or other drugs, we're addicted to a certain person, we're addicted to exercise or binging or starving ourselves. Whatever it is, there's behavior happening that is deeply, deeply dissonant. There is a total lack of coherence between what the mind thinks it should be doing and what is happening. So there's a surface protest against the behavior. When I recognize that I'm drinking too much, I might try to reduce or stop, but then I end up again drinking that same night. All sorts of reasons coming into the mind why that's a good idea. And then the next morning, I'm angry at myself, feeling ashamed, determined that it's going to be different the next day. And that whole cycle, which is a cycle of believed separation, a believed separate doer that should be in control of behavior but isn't, and because it's not in control of behavior, is therefore shameful, or there's something wrong with it. And that's taken as me, of course, because I believe that I'm the doer. There's a belief system going on that that's what I am. So I'm not in control, and I should be in control, and that's terrifying. And it's shameful. And it's something that has to be hidden, or it's something that has to be hidden. It's something that is regarded as shameful by me. But when we're in this conversation, looking really at how the mind works, what's really going on in the mind, it starts to become clear that all behavior, including all thought relating to that idea of me, is the product of the conditioning. It's an output. It's not that me that I believe myself to be that looks so real, so independent. That's just a product of belief. And from this deeper inquiry into what the mind really is, it starts to become clear that there isn't a separate doer deciding objectively what to do. Instead, all behavior is coming from what makes sense. Given the subconscious landscape of what looks real, what has to happen, of the physiology of the body, of the need to numb or distract from certain emotions, of the need to switch off the narrative in the mind, of the need to try to be a certain way in order to get the right amount of respect or attention. According to all of that, behavior will happen. So behavior is always optimum for the belief system that's in operation. It doesn't mean that behavior isn't harmful to self or others. Behavior can be really, really harmful, as we all know. It just means that it makes sense given that belief system. All of our behavior makes absolute sense given the subconscious belief system, the subconscious program that's operating. And the realization of this is an enormous shift. It's an enormous shift of sanity, of recognition, of acknowledgement. It's a mind that is finally starting to settle into reality. And there's a recognition there can't be shame now from that space. When all behavior is the product of a conditioning, all of it makes sense. There is no decider, no separate doer. It's just a program running. So now behavior takes on a different role. Instead of it being a reflection of me, it's a reflection of a program running. It's the external manifestation of the conditioning. And so now again, another huge shift. So instead of battling that behavior on the surface, which is this never-ending loop of trying to control unable to control, feeling deep shame. Instead, now there's this recognition the behavior is coming because of the subconscious programming that's running, and the behavior is revealing that program. So that's where we begin, really. We start to really explore what is going on in terms of the beliefs, the needs, the fears, the insecurities, the shame that is operating at that invisible level. And what we start seeing, and it's what we look at in all of my programs, is how daily life, daily interactions, every experience, every relationship, every piece of work, every conversation is revealing what is going on inside, what is deeply feared, what is deeply needed. And that's our starting point with addiction, is that shift from an identified lost mind, desperately trying to control, to change behavior, to not have certain emotions, to not have these practices or habits, addictions, and instead an open mind, an inquiring mind, a mind that is really alive in its exploration, that is deeply fascinated by where behavior is coming from, fascinated by that subconscious programming that is the origin of all behavior, all perception, all experience. And that's where everything starts changing, because now we're looking at addiction from the absence of shame and blame, and from the possibility of a deep understanding of how the mind works and where behavior comes from. And then life becomes a different space now. So instead of life being the vehicle through which that separate, independent identity is somehow stabilized and secured and made good, life now, the entire purpose of life, becomes the exploration, really, of what are we? Because that identity cannot be true. None of the content of what I think I am is true. And the fundamentals that I think I'm making these things happen is patently not true. So really, what am I? And what is reality? And where is behavior coming from? Where is perception coming from? When the entire purpose of our lives becomes the answering of those questions through everything that we do, everything we perceive, then all belief systems, all behaviors that are coming from those belief systems start to change. And again, there isn't anyone doing those changes. They're happening because beliefs and concepts and meanings and rules are falling away because they no longer make sense. And as that falls away, so does dysfunctional behavior. So does behavior that is deeply harmful to this body, mind, or to others. So it's a radically different approach to addiction, and it's a completely sane approach. It's completely logical. It is absolutely based on the truth of what we are, what the mind is, what the role of the subconscious in driving everything. And ultimately that behavior is optimum, always optimum for the conditioning that gave rise to it. And everything can change. Everything can change. From an inquiring mind, a mind that is increasingly open and becomes more and more open with each revelation, with each moment of old beliefs that we might have had for decades suddenly disappearing, habits suddenly disappearing, simply because shifts are taking place subconsciously. It's enormous. This understanding of the mind really does change everything, and it doesn't change it on behalf of an identity that is trying to control emotions and behavior. It changes it on behalf of the truth of what we are, which is intelligence in action, love, pure consciousness, absolute peace, pure aliveness. Changes are happening on behalf of that infinite absolute truth of what we are. And that's the purpose of our lives. Thank you. Bye. Thank you for listening to Superpowered Mind with me, Claire Diamond. If you want extra support in the exploration of your mind, download our exclusive subliminal recording, especially for podcast listeners, on bit.ly/podcastsubliminal.